knowing the truth about us, well, I see what Jesus says here, I believe that Jesus is credible, and therefore, yes, I know the truth. And isn't there another thing for us to use that truth in our life? For us to experience that truth and for us to come to know the truth of Jesus Christ? In John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, Jesus first gives a conditional statement. This is the criteria by which you know you are a disciple of Christ. If you abide in my word, Jesus says, you are my disciples indeed. And then he gives us two connected effects that abiding in his word is going to have, two affected rewards that we will have. And you shall know the truth, and that truth shall make you free. Well, as you remember last week, we focused in on that last word, free. And the reason why we did is because that's the word that the Jews seized on. They said, what are you talking about, free? We are Abraham's children. We've never been in bondage to anyone. Free. Why are you offering us freedom? We are already free. And Jesus has to say, no, you're not understanding freedom. The freedom I'm talking about is freedom from the bondage of sin. The freedom from the bondage of the devil. That's the kind of freedom that I want to offer to you. Well, I hope you not only understood a little bit more about freedom, but also thought about that this week and grew in your appreciation for the great freedom, the liberty that we have in the kingdom of God. But I would like for us to back up just a phrase in this verse 32 to where Jesus says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Do you know the truth? And have you experienced that freedom? Let's begin with a little bit of background once again. If you would, open your Bibles to John chapter 8 in verse 12. Jesus makes a statement when he says, and he spoke to them saying, this is John 8 in verse 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Now there's a truth, is there not? There's a claim that Jesus makes. I am the light of the world. Do you know that truth? Well, there are two ways that we could know whether or not that's true or not. The first way is, well, we get information from a credible source. Jesus has given us information, the light of the world. And we might see some other passages about what he means by that. And we gather that information and we say, yes, I know Jesus is the light of the world. But there's a second way that we can know it, and that is we can come to know it by experience. We use Jesus Christ in our lives. We follow the teachings of Jesus Christ, and what we find is, in our lives, it's light. It brings me a perspective. It makes life clearer. It helps me see the way. And that light has brought me life. Both of those ways are ways of knowing. And both of these ways of knowing are very important. And in fact, in the context, Jesus deals with both of them. He first deals with this first idea of knowing by information, because that's what the Jews seize on. Verse 13. The Pharisees therefore said to him, you bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. We can't believe you. We can't know this to be the truth. You say, you claim you're the light of the world, but we don't know that to be true because we don't think you're credible. We don't believe you. Well, Jesus answers that, verse 14. Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know where I came from and where I'm going, but you do not know where I came from and where I'm going. Listen, you want to talk about information? I've got the information. I understand. I have the knowledge. He's using this first way, and he used the original language. There are two words for no. One word for no is edo, and Jesus uses that in verse 14. I edo, I know where I come from. I know where I'm going. You don't Edo anything. You don't know where I came from. You don't know what. I am the credible one here. I know. And so if I say I'm the light of the world, I'm the one that has the knowledge, not you. Believe what I say. And he goes on. We'll pick up the reading in verse 17. It is also written in your law that by the testimony of two men is true. I am the one who bears witness of myself, and my Father who sent me bears witness of me. There are two credible witnesses that's given you this information. You know, your mother, when she said, if you eat your vegetables, you'll grow up big and strong, you might say, Mom knows what she's talking about. Well, let me tell you, Jesus knows what he's talking about. And the Father knows what he's talking about. You talk about two credible witnesses. You talk about individuals that have information at their disposal, and they are giving to us this information when Jesus says, this is the truth. I am the light of the world. We can know that to be the truth. Well, the Jews go back and forth with Jesus, questioning him about this. Well, verse 28, he talks about the second kind of knowledge when he says, John 8 and verse 28, Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He. He uses a different word in this verse. In verse 28, he uses the word gnosko. And the word gnosko is a word that doesn't emphasize gathering information. It's the word that emphasizes knowing something by experience, having come to know something. When you look at the evidence and you see it all put together, then you see that this is in fact the truth. And Jesus Christ says, when you lift me up when I die upon the cross, you're going to look at that and you're going to then know that I am He. You're going to recognize that all of that I have said is credible. You're going to see the wonderful miracles that I've done and you're going to say, this is in fact Him. This was the Messiah. You're going to see the prophecies that led up to the event of His death. All of it's going to come together, and you are going to come to know that I am, in fact, the Son of God. It is valid. Well, in verse 30, it says, when He spoke these words, many believed in Him. Yes, they said, yes, we see you as credible. Yes, we recognize this truth. We know this truth. But they could really only know the truth in this first sense, right? They could only have gathered this knowledge here. They really haven't had time to experience it yet. And so Jesus says to them in verse 31, then He said to those Jews who believed Him, let me tell you, you're doing good now, you believe, but if you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. That's the word gnosko. That's the word that means, and if we could change as Jesus says here, you shall come to know the truth by experience. And that's going to set you free. That's what I'd like for us to examine here. What does Jesus mean when He says that? If you abide in My truth, that means that you read and you study. That's what we do when we come together in Bible classes. That's what you do when you study your lessons. That's what we do when we hear sermons. That's what we do when we talk to one another about the Word of God. That's what we do when we sit at home and we privately study the Word of God. We are learning what Jesus says. We are gathering information about the truth. And we are obeying that in our lives. Abiding in the truth is more than just learning. It's using that in our lives. But Jesus says there is going to be an effect to that. There is going to be an outcome to that. An outcome of abiding in My Word, learning and using it, is going to be that you are going to come to know by experience the truth that I tell you. And that truth is going to set you free. I mean, the opposite of this would be, if you don't abide in My Word, you don't follow My teachings, then you're going to know error. You're going to know a lie. And that lie is going to bind you. That lie is going to put you in bondage and slavery to sin. What does that mean in practicality? What does that mean for us to know the truth and the truth shall make you free. A lot of illustrations we could use, but I'd like to look at a few. One in the area of soberness. If you would, open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Jesus, the Apostle Paul is writing it, but this is the teaching of Christ. These are the words of Jesus. This is what He wants us to abide in. And He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we'll pick up the reading in verse 6. He says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as the helmet of helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." What God wants us to be is sober. He wants us to have control of our faculties. He wants us to be ready for the coming. That's the context in which He's talking about, the coming of the Lord. We need to be ready for that day so that we are prepared for that day. And the only way we're going to do that is for us not to get drunk, not to get high, but to be sober. That's the teaching of Jesus. That's the word He wants us to abide in. Another similar passage in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. These are also words of the Lord that He wants us to abide in. He says, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." The devil wants to enslave us, and so don't get drunk. I mean, drunkenness is wrong in and of itself, but a problem with drunkenness is you lose control of yourself. You don't have control of your faculties. You end up doing things that you wouldn't ordinarily do. Peter says, don't get drunk. You need to be sober. You need to be in control of your faculties. You need to be knowing what's going on around you, because that devil is going to try to ensnare you. He's going to try to get you involved with sin. Now let me ask, if you abide in the teaching of Jesus Christ, will you come to know that that is true? That being sober is the way to be? Now think about it. Is that the way to freedom? Is that the way to salvation? Do we regret living a life of sobriety? Do people get addicted to sobriety? Do we feel guilty for the times that we were sober? Do we find ourselves enslaved because we were sober? If we follow the teachings of Christ, if we do what He says and we remain sober, what it's going to do is set us free. It's going to set us free from the enslavement of sin and set us free to live life, to enjoy the various aspects, to enjoy the various details, to enjoy all of the abundance that is here on this earth, to be in harmony with the will of God, to be prepared for our death, to be ready for the judgment day, to be ready for our eternity. That's the way that we're going to get to freedom. That's the way that we're going to have salvation. Have you seen that in your life? Do you have any regrets? Do you have any enslavement? Do you have any guilt because of being sober? On the other hand, you have the world. You have the world that says, winning, this is the way that you can win. Listen, you be like me. You get drunk. You use cocaine. And you find all the women that you can. And at the end of it, winning, the statement of Charlie Sheen and those who believe in the world's teaching. Is that the way to win? Is that the way to be in the in crowd? To party hard? To enjoy all of the pleasures that you find around you, to be cool. You know, you're a young person in this world, and you're faced with this dilemma. On the one hand, you see the teaching of Jesus Christ that says, be sober. Have control of your faculties. Don't get drunk. Don't get high on pot. Don't be a pothead. Be sober, and you are going to have eternal. You're going to be set free. And on the other hand, you've got the teaching of the world that says you need to smoke pot, you need to get high, you need to enjoy all of the pleasures of this world, you need to escape reality. Don't be sober. Don't have control of your faculties. You need to just let it go. You just need to be free. That's where true freedom is. And the young person is standing there and they're saying, which one is valid? Because I have no experience. I haven't seen it. I haven't come to know that this way is right, or come to know that this way is right. Which truth is truly truth? Because actually there is only one. There is only one truth. Jesus says, listen, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And I'm going to guarantee you something. You're going to come to know that that's the truth. And that truth is going to set you free. Again, you don't hear people saying, well, I feel guilty for the times that I was sober. You hear people saying, I feel guilty for the times I got drunk. What a mistake it was for me to get high. What a waste of my time it was for me to smoke pot all day and waste my time and escape reality and not live life. That's what you hear people have regrets about. That's what you hear about people being enslaved to. You don't hear people saying, I need to go to some counseling because I'm sober. I need to go because I'm addicted to sober. I don't want to be sober, but I just find myself going back to being sober. You don't hear that. What you do hear is people saying, I need to get rid of this alcohol. I need to get rid of these drugs. I find myself enslaved with these drugs. I find myself where I tell myself, I'm not going to smoke pot anymore. And I find myself smoking pot again. That's slavery. That's a lie. That's error. Jesus says, you abide in my word, and you're going to find the truth. Let's go back to John chapter 8. Because Jesus says this about the devil. He is offering freedom because he is the only one who offers truth. There is only one truth. Follow the words of Jesus, you'll know the truth. You'll come to know it. You'll experience that truth, and that'll set you free. But he says, on the other hand, there's the devil. And he says in verse 44, and this is the reason why he was concerned about these Jews, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not, this is key here, does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. What have you come to know? What have you experienced? What have you seen in life? The truth of Jesus? Be sober and set you free? Or the lie of the devil? You get high and become enslaved. Jesus said, abide in my word and you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Another area I think there's a great contrast in our world today is in the area of sexual morality. In the book of Hebrews, in the 13th chapter, words of Jesus are very plain. You have a lot of words of the devil, but the words, the truth of Jesus, the information that he gives us that we can know intellectually and then come to know by experience. He says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. God says, remain pure. You're born into this world. If you choose to marry, it's the day that you get married, or it's in that marriage relationship, that you lose your virginity. You stay pure until the day that you're married. And once you're married, you stay pure, you stay faithful to that spouse of yours. You don't go outside. You don't have sex with somebody else. You don't get involved with somebody else. It's only in the marriage relationship that you exercise that freedom of sexuality, that desire of sexuality, And that is purity. That is the truth that Jesus Christ gives us. Have you ever heard of anybody who felt guilty for remaining a virgin before they got married? Have you ever had anyone feel guilty or regret that they were not faithful or that they were faithful to their spouse? You ever hear anybody say, I just wish that I hadn't loved my husband so much. I just wish that I hadn't loved my wife so much. I just wish I hadn't stayed pure to her. I just wish that I just got this guilt. I need to go to counseling because that this guilt is bothering me, that I've stayed pure. No, there's freedom in following the Word of God. There's freedom that's found in individuals remaining pure. There's also the world's truth that's out there that they say is truth, that they want you to know. When it comes to sexual immorality, it is almost expected that young people lose their virginity, is it not? It's the natural thing for them to lose their virginity, and it doesn't matter whether it's not in marriage or outside of marriage. In fact, it's probably better before marriage, the world would teach. Pornography that's become so pervasive in our culture, well, it's just natural, isn't it, for us to look at the opposite sex? There's no harm there, no foul. Adultery? Well, let's not get too carried away. You know, just you have the right to be happy. No real consequences there. And, you know, we're just animals anyway. We're the product of evolution. There's nothing bigger. We need to be spreading our seed around. There's, you know, monogamy. Where'd that come from anyway? Certainly didn't come from the animal kingdom. Certainly didn't come from our ancestry that came out of slime one time in the evolutionary process. Why have some greater morality that restricts you in this? We want to set you free. Just be free with yourself. Don't worry about purity. Is that what truly sets us free? Homosexuality is now sanctioned in 6 states of the United States, and many others are contemplating that. Businesses are pro-homosexual. We see it all around us in our society. Where's that going? Is that going to freedom? Or is that going to slavery? Divorce. We in our society have given the stamp of approval on divorce for any cause. In fact, we call it no-fault divorce. Just get a divorce so that you can be free. Is that where freedom is? Or is freedom in remaining faithful to your spouse until the time that you die? What's going to set you free? Well, if you're not married and you haven't seen anything yet, you might say, well, there's a lot of information out there. I'm not sure which to believe. But do you know by experience, those of you who have lived a little bit and have seen the world around you and have experienced yourself perhaps this struggle with purity, do you know the truth of Jesus Christ? And has it set you free? Another area, contentment. Since we're here in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, let's read the next verse, verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Covetousness is that overriding desire for more and more stuff, to the point it becomes a distraction, to the point that it becomes an obsession. He's let your conduct be without covetousness, and here's the positive, that's the negative. The positive is, and be content with such things as you have. For, here's the reason why we can be content, because our trust is in God, not in things. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. In the book of Matthew, in the 6th chapter, Jesus Himself is talking about not being distracted by the things of this world. And He says in verse 24 of Matthew chapter 6, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The truth of Jesus is very clear. There's more to life than just what's here on the earth. There's more to life than just this material. There is the spiritual realm that we need to be concerned about. There is the relationship with God that we need to be concerned about. The purpose of life is more than just getting and gathering more things of this earth. The purpose of life is being in the proper perspective and the proper relationship with God. And true happiness, Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Jesus defines for us what happiness is. Jesus defines for us what the purpose of life is. And He wants us to be content, satisfied with the material things of this earth, and have our focus on the spiritual things that are more overriding and that will last into eternity. But we also have the truth that's in the world, the winning. How does the world say that we can win as opposed to what Jesus said? Well, the man with the most stuff is the winning side, right? The individual who focuses here on this earth is the one who truly wins. The one who has happiness is the one who has the most gadgets. And yeah, you could serve God, but, you know, there's time for that. You know, when the kids are young, they don't, you know, when they get older, they can serve God. Right now, they need to get involved with sports. They need to get involved with school. They need to get involved with neighborhood things. You know, later, they can get involved with God. They can serve God then. And, you know, when they get in college, well, later, they can. Right now, you need an education, right? And that's your focus of life, is an education. So you can get a good job, so you can get a lot of stuff. There's time for serving God. And then, when they get out of college, and they try to get a job, and get established in the job, and they start a new family, well, then they get busy. And they say, well, I'll serve God later, but right now, you know, I just got to get established in this life. And then after they get established in this life and they have these kids that are growing up, then they become the taxi drivers. They got to go here, activity, activity, activity. Because what's life all about? What's winning all about? It's all about this earth, right? And we can serve God later. And then you say, well, later, well, when I get middle-aged, that's when I'm going to serve God. But then you turn middle-aged and you've got things. Wow, you're now really busy, and you've got, now you're pulling in the big bucks, and now you're able to really grab a hold of the things of this world. That's when you really don't have time for God. And then, well, I'll do it later, but then you retire and you say, well, I got to travel. There are places to go. I got grandkids to see, travel. And then you get past retirement and you say, Jesus, who? What are you talking about? Where is their freedom? Is there freedom in what Jesus says? What have you come to know? You see yourself. You see people around you. Do you see people saying, I sure wish I didn't go to church services so much. I wish that I hadn't really got my kids to do their lessons. I wish I had got them to go out and drink more beer. I wish I had spent more time at the office instead of being in a home with my family. Because life is all about stuff. Is that the truth you've come to know? You've experienced? You've seen? Or have you seen people destroy their lives? And maybe even yourself made bad choices because you believe the winning of the world instead of the blessedness that's found in Jesus Christ. Well, this list could go on. As many as are the teachings of Jesus, we can experience that it is the truth as we live our life. Let's just look at this list that the Apostle Paul gives us here in Ephesians chapter 4. Because he lists several things in contrast to one another. And as we go through this list, just think, which way have you seen, have you come to know to be the truth, the best way, the way to freedom? In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25. Therefore, put away lying. Each one speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Which way is going to lead to freedom? Honesty, telling the truth, not shading things, but just let our yes be yes and our no be no. Is there freedom in that? Or is there enslavement in that? What about lying? You lie your way out of trouble, you lie about this, you lie about that. Is that the way to freedom? Or is that the way to slavery? The next example here, verse 26, he says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. What have you learned? What do you see? What do you have you experienced as truth? Is it the truth that Jesus says you need to control your anger? You need to watch your mouth. You need to watch your tongue. You need to not let anger dwell in your heart. Is that what's going to bind you? Is that what you have found enslaves you? Or does that set you free to take care of problems that are there and not let anger control you? Or have you seen, have you learned that anger is what brings regret? And anger and the expression of it is what brings slavery and what brings depression and what brings hell. Verse 28, let him who stole steal no longer, but let him rather labor, with working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who is in need. Again, what sets you free? Does stealing set you free? Does thievery, selfishness set you free? Or does working hard what is good and giving to others, is that what sets your soul free? Is that what's in harmony with who you are and what God wants you to be? In verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. What sets you free? Is it having a mouth out of the gutter? Is it using profanity? Is it using and saying and telling jokes that are profane? Is there any regret that comes from that? Is there any guilt that comes from that? Is there any condemnation of God that comes from that? What about speaking what is good, using our tongue to spread the gospel and to encourage, not to gossip, but to do what is good and profitable and honorable in the sight of God? Is that what sets us free? Is that the truth? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed at the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. He sees what we do and what we say and what we think. He grieves when we do what is wrong, and are we not set free? Are we not in harmony with the Spirit when we do that which is right? Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Why does God want us to do that? Is it because anger and malice and evil speaking and clamor, is that what sets us free? That's what binds us, isn't it? You look at an angry individual, that's not an individual that's free. You look at an individual who's constantly sniping at others and saying evil things, are they the ones that are free? Jesus says, I want you to be free. He says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. We can enter into the freedom of God by practicing the teaching of Jesus Christ. Again, the question is, have you come to know the truth? And has that truth set you free? You know, when I look back at my life, I have regrets. There are things that when I think about them, they're painful for me to think about. And my conscience has this, it's like there's a hot probe there in my conscience when I think about them. But none of them, none of my regrets or because I was following the teaching of Jesus Christ? None of them. All of my regrets are the times when I followed the winning of the world. Whenever I have followed the teachings of Jesus Christ, and I've thought about this, I have no regrets. I have no guilt feelings for that. What I have is a feeling of peace and harmony and freedom. I have followed the times that I have followed the teachings of Christ, abided in the teachings of Christ, I have come to know the truth. And that truth has set me free. What a great Lord we follow. In fact, He is so great that those times of regret that I do have, He says, I'll forgive you for those. So that you can forgive yourself. So that you can be truly free indeed. And the only way is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you're not a Christian, I hope that you will know that. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And I hope that you believe it to be the truth, because Jesus is the one that said it. It is credible. But I will also tell you, as someone who made that decision 33 years ago, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And I love it. If you're not a Christian, we'd encourage you to experience the truth of Jesus Christ by obeying Him. We would encourage you to become a Christian. If you are a Christian, for some reason have started listening to the world and have found yourself enslaved by that, we'd encourage you to come back to the Lord while we stand and sing.